This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
What do you think, Mac? Do you think that if we have aliens amongst us, that even when we see creatures around the alleged UFOs, they are really just robots?
No, you know, I mean, anything is possible. I don't buy into the idea that aliens walk among us, though, because I think at some point, you know, with some of the stories I've heard, you know, people that we've interviewed on the show, yeah, there seem to be like, you know, thousands and thousands of these aliens, you know, walking around among us. And I think just at some point, one of them would get hit by a bus or something. And, you know what I mean? And you'd say, wow, this guy isn't human. So I think that would happen. I think that someone would become friends with them and then, you know, spit it all to you know, TMZ or something.
Right. But you're assuming then that aliens would, if they are amongst us, would be different. They'd look different. They'd sound different. Their DNA, if we check their DNA, would be different. Mm-hmm. And that may not be true. It's possibly a race of hybrids where they look human and their genetic characteristics are engineered in such a way that, at least unless you check real carefully, you would think they're human beings. And so if they're killed mm-hmm. due to an accident or they die, it wouldn't be anything suspicious.
I always wonder, too, why would they be here? Why would they come here? I mean, this planet is screwed up, man. You know, I mean, why would you come here?
Maybe that we're so screwed up that we become a point of entertainment.
Well, maybe if it's their entertainment, then screw them, you know?
Okay, so one thing that sort of fits both of you guys' ideas about the planet is, so maybe we're somebody's, we started off as a penal colony. And they, every once in a while, they check in, dump the trash, and have a laugh.
Well, yeah. I mean, we've gone a long way. If we were a penal colony, we've gone a long way since, you know. And the prisons would have to be like the cavemen or something. Think of what this planet would be like if there were no humans on it. It would be paradise from top to bottom. You know, it would. Then I could see them coming here. But I think the way we are, if there's someone looking in on us, I think they're doing it, I don't know. I mean, we, in one of the books, we talked about that UFOs might be just time travelers. You know, they might be just time tourists from our distant future coming back and seeing history being made because so many of them show up during wars, as in UFOs in wartime. You know, then someone would say, well, how come there wouldn't be 20 million people at a Shakespeare play or the Crucifixion or something? And, you know, then you really get into kind of murky stuff. But, you know, it might be just simple as that, you know. I just don't get this idea that all these people are walking. And what are they doing? What are they doing? Are they running the airlines or something? I don't know what they'd be doing.
You know, there is a scientist, Dr. Gary Nolan, who's a professor at Stanford University, who's been going around saying, yes, E.T. is here.
Well, where's the proof?
He thinks that, you know, what I really can't differentiate is because he talks about phenomena, this and that, and mm-hmm. doesn't differentiate with, you know, if it's UFO related or what. But he claims that he and his colleague, Dr. Christopher Green, have found, sure, it's over 100 patients from military sources and military related that have had changes in their brain that can be documented. Mm. I'm not sure that I believe that the interpretation of the data is correct. But he believes that, and that's the basis for some of his claims.
He thinks there's a UFO connection to all these people?
Sure, and one of those would be John Burroughs from the Bentwaters case, the Rendlesham case.
Oh, right, yeah, sure, yep, yep. Well, you know, I mean, one thing on our show, we never, ever, ever get political, ever, and I don't want to hear either, but just the reality of it, the last person to occupy the White House, if someone came to him and said, we know what UFOs are, he would have tweeted it in 10 seconds, right? And he didn't. Yeah. and he didn't, you know. And he's the type of guy, he would love to be the president that revealed, hey, UFOs are this or that, all right? And you know he asked them. So they don't know. They don't know.
Well, you know, what's interesting about that, though, is back in the 2016 campaign, Hillary Clinton said on several late-night TV shows and elsewhere that if she was elected, she'd look further into the UFO mystery. It was John Podesta, one of the Clinton aides,
right.
He's very interested in UFOs and wrote the foreword to Leslie Kane's book on the subject. I would have thought that with the other guy saying, lock her up, lock her up, lock her up, he would have jumped at the opportunity to say how crazy Hillary was. Crazy Hillary, he'd say. And he didn't. He didn't mention it. Isn't that strange?
No, yeah. I don't know if he thinks that deeply or not, to tell you the truth, about that subject or others. But I can tell you a story about Bill Clinton, if it take a couple minutes. So there's a place in Russia called Kapustin Yar, and it's basically the Russians' combination of Cape Canaveral and Area 51. They launch a lot of their rockets, you know, orbital satellites and spy rockets and stuff like that from there. And they also have a lot of secret stuff going on there, and they also store a lot of their nuclear weapons there. Anyway, in the late 80s, there was this incident there where a flying saucer came down, UFO right on top of like one of their nuclear storage sites, and then moved over to where they kept the airplanes. It was in sight for about 30 minutes. About 20 people saw it, guards and officers and stuff. It happened in the middle of the night. And this is back before the Soviet Union had disappeared. The KGB actually came down there and they interviewed these guys, or they, you know, interrogated these witnesses, right? And you just figure no one's going to lie to the KGB, right? So you have to really kind of think that what they came up with was true. And they just said, a lot of people just saw this flying saucer, there it was, there it went away, it came back, it hovered, and so on. So not too long after that, one of Nelson Rockefeller's brothers, I forget his first name, but, you know, he had as much money as Nelson Rockefeller did back then. He paid a couple of researchers, like about $200,000, to look into this, you know, exactly what happened at this Kapustin Yar, because the Russians let them in to, you know, do their research. And then they put together a report, gave it to him, and he handed it to Clinton. Clinton had only been president for about, I don't think, even a year. And there's actual photographs of him handing it to Clinton, but no photograph of Clinton thrown in the wastebasket, you know. But that did happen. To Rockefeller, who, you know, he had other places to spend his money. He was just so convinced that, you know, finally here we have this UFO incident with so many really good witnesses that he, you know, paid to look into it for him.
Yeah, the Clintons were obviously interested in UFOs, and of course the Roswell report that resulted from the president's request to look into it is reviled. But you know, and I guess that's one warning we should have when the government gets involved in UFOs. You know, I personally am much more interested in the individual research and, you know, things that are not government sponsored. I think we stand a better chance of getting good results there.
From the private sector. I don't think, you know, I think that the secret behind UFOs, I think at some point we're going to find out what it is. You know, we mean civilization, but I don't think it's going to come from America, boys. I think it's going to come from China or possibly India. I think because their scientists, especially now China, they don't carry this stigma around with them, you know, where in this country, if you ask for money from a grant, then that's how these people make their money. And if you ask it for UFO related, you're not going to get it. You know, if you ask it for, you know, separating three atoms from two, you'll get it. But in China, you don't have that stigma attached to it. You know, if you can find something out, here's the money. Same thing in India, right? You know, there's billions of people starving, yet they put they put money into researching, you know, things we don't know about. So if there's a breakthrough, and I don't see that happening in this country, if there's a breakthrough, I hate to say it, I hope I'm wrong, but I don't think it's going to be from the USA.
We've got more to come with Mac And Gene and Kurt, you're in
the Paracast.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you, too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
All across the country, people are coming together to speed up what we can learn about health. The All of Us Research Program is calling on 1 million people to join us as we try to change the future of health. For your family, for future generations, for all of us. Visit joinallofus.org and find out how you can become one in a million.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
As we continue, Kurt Collins had started with a comment, and the clock said, no, don't do that. Clocks don't say that, do they? Kurt, go ahead, please.
The Air Force is... stated purpose for being interested in flying saucers was that if it represented a technology beyond what we had, they wanted to study it, exploit it, and, you know, get into the business themselves. So
and weaponize it.
Mm-hmm.
that's, you know, as you know, my friend told me about, you know, that workshop he went to. He says, that's all the military guys, that's all they cared about. You know, that's all they had to care about. You know, that's, they basically said, you know, we would study it, we would see if it had weapons, and then we would do what we could to, you know, reproduce those weapons.
They've tried a few times, we know, without, apparently without having the actual model. You know, the Avro car was a disaster that was, you know, spent many years and millions of dollars, which built a lopsided hover car. It was all that came out of that.
Right.
But, you know, it's according to Ben Rich's biography, he said, you know, they did consider for the stealth craft a flying saucer shape, but couldn't could make it stable. So, you know, there have actually been attempts by, you know, serious attempts by engineers to build the craft. But as far as we know, they haven't really made a go of it.
But, you know, I mean, saucers, they're a better aerodynamic shapes than a saucer. But I think, but I'll tell you, these days, you know, the way that, like, the F-22 and the F-35, the way they fly, you know, by, the pilot really isn't flying the plane. Computers are flying the plane. And if the pilot turns the stick left, you know, that's telling the computer to turn the airplane left. But the, you know, the flaps and the air, they're just going all the time. They're going all the time to maintain a stable flight. And I'm wondering if these days, if they could do that to a saucer, if a saucer has some kind of an advantage to it. I don't know, maybe it'll be like a delivery drone or something like that, you know?
Yeah, it's a shape that, you know, at least if you're looking at it sideways, it's got a low profile, it's, you know.
Yeah, true, yeah.
So, you know, there's some things like that, but spinning on another turn, you know, we talked about how there's always, you know, some truth and there's the legend. You know, I don't think every art museum probably has a few counterfeits hanging in it. So, you know, you talked about the Kehoe case that you liked. But what are some of the UFO legends that you think, you know, you said you didn't think, you know, that we were overpopulated by aliens. So what are some of the things, like maybe a Bob Lazar or Nazi technology, what are some of the phonies that you think are doing no good whatsoever?
Okay. All right. I don't want to be the guy at the party, you know, but I don't believe anything happened at Roswell. And I can tell you why, but just real quick, I'll tell you the one fraud that really gets me is the Nazi technology fraud. And, you know, I know why people do it. It's, they can write books about it and they can give lectures about it and shows about it and so on. But you just have to just remember two or three things. Okay. In 1943-44, the Germans had the only jet fighter at the time. It's called the ME-262. Everybody else was flying powered planes. This jet could go fast. It could do all these things. But the Germans were so low on just basic building stuff that the cockpit of the ME-262 was made of plywood, okay, because they couldn't afford to put anything else in there. When you look at some of the planes when they ended the war, some of the planes that they were putting together were just, it's like, you know, a madman did them. They ran out of stuff. They were making suicide planes out of plywood. So what I'm trying to say is that there you are, you know, just barely hanging on and finally losing the war. How could you, if you had alien help, if you had all this like crazy Nazi technology with sauces and time machines and bells and all this stuff, why did you lose the war?
You know, that raises an interesting issue here, because there have been claims over the years of advanced scientific achievements. In Germany, during or before World War II, of course, we have all those German scientists who went to the USSR and also to the USA that obviously had certain achievements. So I kind of wonder about that.
You know, I mean, you said it, you know, the German scientists that we took, you know, Wernher von Braun and those guys who surrendered to us, the West, you know, they're the people who put us on the moon. So if people say, hey, there's a Nazi conspiracy to put the USA on the moon, they're absolutely right, because that's where the technology came from. That's where the know-how came from these Nazi scientists, is the whole paperclip, Operation Paperclip and so on. It just bothers me that people, you know, want to glorify the Nazis. I mean, you know, I should probably stop there, but I mean, just think about it for a second. If you had alien help, you had all this stuff, you had a base in Antarctica or a base on the moon, you're talking to aliens 44 light years away, why would you lose the war? Why wouldn't you just kick ass and take over the world? So I don't believe that. But just real quick, get to Roswell. If you look at the debris found in Roswell, what they never mention, someone who was on a show actually showed it to me, is that there was rope found in the debris field, and there was also mylar. Mylar was just at that time just kind of a new invention, and basically that's what was made up. That's what made up these sonic balloons that that the U.S. was sending up into this, you know, high stratosphere to see if they could hear. They basically went up with microphones to see if they could hear the Russians detonating nuclear bombs.
And now, what's interesting to me here about this is that one of the possible suspects for Roswell were possible Project Mogul balloons. But then researchers like Kevin Randall went around and said, well, they didn't have any balloons scheduled for that period of time. And besides, the troops there would know what they were, and there would be no mystery about it.
I guess, you know, but I just don't think that the occupants of a UFO would have rope on board.
Well, you said occupants. Well, that's another key thing. So Major Jesse Marcel, he visited the scene. All he found was the foils and sticks and things like that. Mm. He made no mention of nothing to suggest it was manned. And so for this, you know, and later researchers, Friedman and all the Moore and the other people, had to come up with to say, well, that was only part of the craft. The occupied part. It just gets so convoluted and imaginative, it's way beyond belief.
Right. I mean, we have a semi-regular guest on, Dr. Bob Gross from Chicago, and he has a number of degrees in acoustics and stuff. But he works for the government researching something that came from mylar. Now, these days we have mylar balloons, okay? But back then, you could actually take a piece of mylar and pull it and stretch it, and it would go back to its original shape. And that's what you hear, that, you know, people said that this, you know, they have this kind of magical stuff, and it was just something that was just had been invented and people didn't know about it. And you mentioned Jesse Marcel. We had Jesse Marcel Jr. on our show, and it might have been the last interview that he did.
Hey, before we go back into Jesse Marcel Jr., we've got more to come with Mac, Kurt, and Gene. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at TeamG'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com, and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, silverlungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at silverlungs.com. That's silverlungs.com.
USA News Update. Rescue teams are searching through for survivors of the deadly train crash in India.
Nearly 300 people were killed when two passenger trains derailed on Friday. A crash survivor spoke through an interpreter about the harrowing scene.
We were stuck inside and somehow managed to get out. We broke the grills, and when we came out, we saw many dead bodies piled up.
Courtesy of Sky News, more than 1,000 people were injured. I'm Jerry Barmash.
A massive fire at a Louisiana oil tank farm triggered evacuations and orders to shelter in place. That fire near Lake Charles yesterday caused massive plumes of black smoke, prompting those evacuations. The first named storm of the Atlantic hurricane season, Arlene, has been downgraded to a tropical depression. Corey Myers, USA News.
I need answers to my tax questions. Where can I find them?
Need answers? Try our interactive tax assistant on irs.gov/ITA. Simply select your tax questions, provide your information, and it gives you answers. Also, check our help and resources page and try our online tax map. 5,000 tax topics from A to Z. Plus, you can access forms, publications, in a variety of formats.
We depend on our drinking water supply daily, but where does that water come from? Your water provider encourages you to get to know your local water source so together we can protect and preserve it. The investments we make as a community to protect our water source now ensure we have a sustainable drinking water supply for the future. Visit drinktap.org to learn more. This message is brought to you by the American Water Works Association and your local water provider.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is a perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
Hi, my name is Richard Dolan. You're listening to the Paracast.
Just to bring it up to date, we had him on a couple of times on the Paracast over the years.
Super guy. He really was a good guy. He was redrafted when he was like 72 or 74 because he was the dentist. And he went over to Iraq, you know, during the Iraq War, this guy. And he when we talked to him, he was living up in Idaho, I think, or Iowa. He says, I just had to get out of Roswell. You know, it just turned into this circus. He really impressed us. And then we find out like a couple months later, he passed away. Real veteran, you know, just a real veteran, that guy. Good guy.
So he seems sincere, but you just don't think the legends you stack up to, you know, what they're made of.
Nope. You know, I mean, if you look, you can go out there and you can see side by side what made up of those Project Mogul balloons, and you can see pieces of the debris. And people talk about how there's hieroglyphics on some of these. Basically, they're balsa wood. And the guys who were putting together those balloons, they would go into town. It was actually pretty far away from Roswell. And they'd go to a florist shop, because the florist shop would put displays in their windows, and they'd use this balsa wood that had writing on it to tell you, you know, what kind. Is it 10 feet long? Is it 6 feet long? Is it 3 feet? You know, is hieroglyphics that balsa wood people would understand. So when they found that in the debris, people automatically said, well, this is alien writing, where, you know, it's just kind of like codes for balsa wood. So there's just a lot of stuff there that, you know, there's nothing that they found that wasn't made here on Earth. You know, that's just the way it is. How the story got out of hand, I can tell you, when I was reading all those books as a kid, there was no mention of Roswell. It was when Stan Friedman and, you know, his acolytes got the National Enquirer involved and some TV shows, and you know, kind of off we go, you know. And I used to think that it was good because it was people's introduction to UFOs and, hey, maybe this happened. In fact, in the 80s, I volunteered to go down there with this group and do an archaeological study, go through the sand and sift through the sand and stuff. And, you know, I wasn't picked, but that's how much I was into Roswell. But I just looked at the facts. And there are more sightings out there, incidents out there that are way better than Roswell, right? You know, in Roswell, probably 50 miles from that place, there's an ICBM base that, when they were putting it in, we were talking about how UFOs are always over these places. When they were putting it in, the guards didn't want to, you know, do night duty because, you know, UFOs would show up so often and, you know, and scare them. So, you know, that's called, missile number 8. And I don't know if it's still there or not, but see, that's the kind of stuff we should be looking towards. You know, not, you know, turning around.
Manufactured.
Yeah, manufactured. You don't have to manufacture stuff, but see, it's easy to write about it. Okay? I got to say that in any book I write is vetted. You know, it's vetted by the publisher's lawyers. And, you know, basically say, well, you know, if you can't prove this or if you can't back this up, you can't put it in there, you know? So that's why in the books I've written, I just, you know, try to really kind of stick to the facts. But if you're self-published or whatever, you can say anything you want and go around and sell them, and people say, oh, stop believing it. And that's what creates the noise to me. And 90% of it is noise. Got to get through that. Got to get to the facts.
You've got a perspective that many people wouldn't have because of the amount of fiction that you write. And I think you've also got a pretty good, I think some people call it a BS meter. So, you know, there are a lot of UFO stories, especially the people that had contact with aliens. They have a series of continuing adventures, or maybe Ed Walters, who takes picture after picture of UFOs. Mm-hmm. What do you think is kind of contrast what you think a genuine UFO event from, you know, one of the phonies?
Mm-hmm. Well, the whole Gulf Breeze thing, you know, turned out to be phony. Anything that looks phony is phony. I'll tell you that to me, the real UFO footage is the Tic Tac videos. No one knows what those are. You know, those are unidentified flying objects. And what we've been seeing all these years, maybe there's some variation of them. But, you know, there's a lot of scammers out there, obviously. And, you know, and once again, it's part of the noise. And
when you mentioned Gulf Breeze, years ago when I had a UFO paranormal magazine, I interviewed Ed Walters. And mm-hmm. He seemed like an okay guy. Of course, we learned about the model of a UFO found in the attic of a home that he used to own, things like
right.
that. So that was really strange. But the other thing is that Dr. Bruce Maccabee, mm-hmm. pretty serious guy, bought into Gulf Breeze, which kind of mm-hmm. surprised me.
Yeah, there's a lot of activity down there, military activity. There's no doubt about that. So if you know, seeing lights in the sky down in that area shouldn't be that unusual. You know, and the fact that this guy took these pictures and, you know, no one else saw them and so on, and as you say, he got caught with the model, why he would leave that behind, you know, it's kind of a dumbo. But, you know, When the UFOs that are on, that we have been allowed to see, we, population, the civilian population, are the Tic Tac videos, those are real. Those are real UFOs. And everything that comes from that, you know, is real, not something that looks like a pie plate with Christmas lights on.
Yeah, so I mentioned briefly the counterfeit. And, you know, usually when there's something fake, there's a couple of things going on. First of all, there's a demand for it. You know, there's a reason to do it. But there probably were other sightings in Gulf Breeze. Who knows? Maybe some of those were real. Some of them were mistaken. You might, you know, seeing lights on military craft.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, you know, it's just very possible that Walters was just exploiting the interest in the local UFO scene. So.
Sure. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what he was doing, you know, and that's exactly what people do to carry on these kind of ridiculous stories about Nazi technology, about, you know, 5,000 aliens living in Dulce Mountain and K2, you know, they're supposed to be the secret place near Area 51. You know, it's to their benefit. to continue these stories, you know, to make a reputation for themselves. And hey, if that's the way you're going to do it, that's great, you know. But, you know, once you can go on our show, we really, you know, we strive. We fool around a lot because, Craig, you told me that you heard one of our shows. You know, we goof off a lot, but we do get serious. And, you know, we get serious about, you know, let's just have people on that are just going to give us the straight stories, you know, and mystify us. What happened? Don't try to explain it. Just what happened. And people will get in touch with us and say, the same thing happened to me. And then, you know, the circle is complete.
You mentioned interprets. So that's one problem with UFO witnesses, or, you know, well, really anything, a witness to a bank robbery. They mm-hmm. see something, and sometimes they can describe accurately what they saw, but, you know, when they start interpreting it,
yep.
Then this, you know, it's like, you know, you see maybe three lights in the sky, and mm-hmm. then, you know, if you decide that it's an alien ship or whatever, you start asking, you know, it was watching me, or I felt this presence.
Right.
You know, these things are not in the factual department.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there are definitely some things that happen to people before and after they see UFOs, because they're documented. You know, what that is, who knows? You know, maybe something's going on psychologically, and they see a UFO, and, you know, who knows, right? But I think that when people see, well, I'll give you an example. So, you know, we live near the beach. We're on the beach one night, and just after sunset, and there's marshes all around us, and we look over these marshes, and here come two separate bunches of lights coming right at us. Red lights, amber lights, and green lights. And so I say to my wife, I say, wow, here it is. We're seeing UFOs. Look at these things.
We're going to look at these things, and then we'll look at what you have to report. Mac Maloney, Gene Steinberg, Kirk Collins, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on our distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at rockoids.com. That's rockoids, rockoids.com.
It's all too obvious. We're being let down by the institutions we used to trust. American families are talking about a future of food shortages, banks failing, society breaking down, and what seems like the setup for the apocalypse. But instead of throwing up their hands, folks are leaning into self-reliance, investing in emergency food storage now more than ever. And My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, has made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind knowing you're prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on their best-selling 3-month emergency food kit. You get tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save $200 plus get free shipping on 3-month emergency food kits at MyPatriotSupply.com. It's time to prepare for what we all know is coming. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hi, this is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and best-selling author on safety and preparedness. The fact is, things are getting downright scary for everyone who's storing their wealth in the banks. We just saw the collapse of three major banks, and I would urge you to consider protecting your wealth ASAP. If even a tiny percentage of Americans attempt to withdraw their savings, we would see a collapse of the entire banking system, sending us into a modern-day Great Depression. Fortunately, there is a way for you to avoid this. It starts with contacting Advantage Gold. If you have an IRA or 401k, Advantage Gold can help convert those paper assets into physical gold and silver. This is the process that I recommend everybody use as a hedge against rapid inflation and to protect your retirement wealth from the banks. Take control of your financial safety today. Call 800-900-8000 to get your free gold investment kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
This is Jacques Vallée. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Look further, Mac. Tell us more about this event.
Yeah, so we watched them for a good 2 minutes, coming right at us over these low over these marshes, and they came close enough to us for us to see that they were a medevac helicopters going to, you know, the hospital in town. And if they had been, you know, a quarter of a mile away from us, we would have swooned. We saw a UFO. It just looked like, especially the amber lights, which you always hear, that's how you can interpret things, you know. To really be a UFO, a good witness, let's say, I think you have to be, you know, a pilot, people who have spent time like air traffic controllers who have seen everything. And when you see something you don't know what it is, that's a UFO.
Well, I don't want to dismiss all the witnesses from the ground, but I think you make a great point. I mean, that if you're up in the air, you're going to be able to kind of, you know, unless it's, you know, really zipping past you, you have a chance to look at it from a couple of different angles and eliminates the possibilities, you know. Plus, you tend to be a whole lot closer to whatever's happening than somebody from the ground.
We've had airline pilots on, and what they tell us is, see, airline pilots are in the same position as the Air Force pilots in a way. You know, airline pilots, the way that you get you advance is it's kind of a long thing, but you bid on certain flights, and in the sky that we knew flew from Chicago to Beijing twice a month. You'd go over the North Pole, right? And what he told us is, yeah, we see stuff all the time, but we're not going to say anything because when that day when you went to get your raise or whatever and they look on your reports, oh, you're seeing UFOs, huh? Well, you're not going to get it. The other guy's going to get it. So they don't say anything officially. But what he says is, remember, if we're up there, there's other planes up there, too. And they talk amongst themselves. Do you see that? Do you see that? What's it look like? So on and so forth. And then, you know, they have a story to tell. Military pilots are in the same position, but they do. They will go and say to their officer, hey, listen, I saw this, this, and this, and, you know, fill out a report. But then, you know, that's it. Where that report goes, who knows? You know, in both cases, they don't want to speak publicly about it, you know, for obvious reasons.
there's in the NASA conference, they mentioned stigma. It was interesting. They said that some of the team had been harassed, you know, online and sent emails from people, and they were really kind of reluctant to talk about what. But a couple of people asked in the reporters afterwards, and they indicated that it came from all perspectives. I mean, so that made me believe that some of the people who believe in aliens and that they're hiding things or coming after them, and other people are ridiculing because it's NASA wasting money. I thought that was really interesting that, you know, we have supposedly come so far, and then yet, you know, they're being harassed.
Well, you know, if you get fire from both sides, you must be doing something right. Right?
Yeah, it could be it.
I mean, you know, talk about NASA for a moment. I mean, they've done some unbelievable things. They've done some incredible things. They put us on the moon. They built the space shuttle, which is was most expensive, the most advanced machine ever made by human beings. You know, they had the space station. They have this Artemis rocket and stuff. You know, they've done some great things. They've had some incredible follow-ups. They had so many follow-ups, you can almost say there's some kind of conspiracy about these. You know, they sent a billion-dollar research vehicle to Mars. This goes back probably about 15 years. Half of it was built by the European Union. Half of it was built by the USA. They launched it, and it takes 2 years to get to Mars. It's within a few months of getting to Mars, and what they want to do is they want to transfer what the Americans made into, now the Europeans are going to take over the research part of it, get it into orbit, and so on, right? They found out only then that the European part had been put together with the metric system, and the USA part had been put together with the standard system, inches and stuff. And so the whole thing was a failure. Now, think about that. I mean, that to me, that's almost like a lie. That's almost like, that's impossible for that to happen, but it happened, you know. So they've had their failures, too. There's no doubt about it. And I think the fact that they're a government agency interferes in a lot of stuff they do. Because, you know, you have to kind of, you know, do it the government way. You know, they launched the Challenger and killed that teacher. And, you know, that was a complete political move. They shouldn't have done that. But, you know, now you see that changing. You see all these, you know, SpaceX and all these private companies. You know they're going to do it better. You just know, because they don't have the government on their shoulder the whole time. So,
wow. So just the difference between the measurement system. Well, then, that, you know, we need to remain aware of that in case we ever really do connect with aliens. We may have some serious communication and technological problems that, you know, it's not going to go as smoothly as we've seen in the movie and TV shows.
Yeah, no. I mean, all of that is from our perspective, you know. If there's something out, and there's got to be other civilizations out there. I mean, yeah, there's just trillions upon trillions of the stars, you know, billions and hundreds of billions of galaxies. We can't be the only ones. But are these, you know, some are the people from one of these planets visiting our planet and come across vast, you know, expanses of space? No, they have to have had some kind, if this is who they are, but yeah, they have to have some kind of technology, wormhole technology, something, you know. They can't do it ballistically, if you know what I mean. They have found the secret that we don't have yet.
Also, I think if they are that smart, they have ways to communicate with us or know enough about us to avoid communicating with us.
Right. I agree with you 100%. I mean, not to be indelicate, but why do people get probed? If they're so technologically, why do they mutilate cows? You know, if they're so technologically advanced, wouldn't they know, you know, what our blood was made of or what our, you know, insides are made of? Wouldn't they know what a cattle was? You know, why would they bother? You know, it's just one of those mysteries. But I don't understand the whole abduction thing. I don't understand because I know there is some evidence that something has happened to these people. You know, what it is. Knows.
Well, maybe it is that their minds are taking an alien experience and kind of interpreting it in something that they can accept. So some of these screwy details may not be part of the original encounter or whatever it was,
But they added, okay, it's ET, they're here doing physical examinations. And now you don't have to do physical examinations. Even if they wanted to reverse engineer our genetic characteristics, how many humans would they need to do it?
One. But there are cases, and I'm not going to, you know, quote the writers because I'll get them wrong, but there were people back in, going back a couple decades, John Mack was one of them, and Bud Hopkins was the other. And they hypnotized people who claimed that they were abducted and just basically heard their stories. Now, you know, what they worked separately because they did not want, you know, the pool to be polluted, if you know what I mean, right? And they found out a lot of people had seen a movie when they were a kid and then stayed with them and they thought this happened and, you know, who knows, make some psychological problems. But there are some people who weren't like that. And one of the things that these, you know, this only came out after they both passed away. And I think when their wives released their papers or something, there's some controversy into it, but what they both found out in their interviews was that abductees said that gray aliens had tattoos. And they made sure that their group never talked to their group, okay? So this is something that came independently from these two groups. And I think that's just such an unusual thing, you know? That's just an unusual thing that you'd only know if you were there. So how would that happen? You know, how could that possibly happen?
I know that we had Kathleen Martin on the Paracast a number of times. She was a therapist. She worked with MUFON. Now she's more into channeling and things that I think are kind of too weird for her. But okay. She pointed out several times that there are facts or a single fact that they use to determine whether the abductee is telling the truth. It's not something publicized, but if they know this hidden information, maybe like the tattoos, it's enough to say, you know what? Something happened to them.
Happened, yeah.
But what could it be? Mac Maloney is here with us, and he writes fiction, he writes fact. And we're dealing with facts, we hope, here with Kurt Collins, Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.